Thank the Lord tonight for those good songs. Thankful for the faithfulness of the Lord. I'm thankful for the inspiration of the songs. I'm thankful for the reality of the songs tonight.
Amen.
I'm thankful that there is an experience that we can each one have that goes way beyond just religion. It goes beyond tradition. It goes beyond our backgrounds. There is a reality tonight in being free and having an experience with God that in His faithfulness, He comes and shows us areas in our life that we need to draw closer to Him and work with our weaknesses.
Right.
Thank the Lord. Appreciate each one that is here tonight, and I trust that God will bless you for coming out tonight. We are very needy and dependent upon the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We have these meetings, we call it revival, but it is only going to be revival in as much as we open up our hearts and allow the Lord to talk to us. And I know that you all get good, sound teaching week after week. These meetings are held as sometimes kind of a prolonged invitation for us to do business with God. That door is always open. But when we have revival meetings, it's time that we set aside from our normal cares of life. And every evening we're coming together, and our prayer should be, Lord, I want you to stir me. But if you came just to fill time and you really don't want to be here tonight, you may not get a lot of good out of it. But if you don't want to be here tonight, and you have to be here, some of you younger ones maybe, mom and dad made you come, my prayer is tonight that the Holy Spirit, by the end of this service, will make you be glad that you were here.
Yes.
The Lord wants to move among us tonight. I'm never interested in wasting time. If we're going to just fill the time, I'd rather just go home right now. So Lord, bless His Word. If you will turn with me to the book of Matthew in the 20th chapter. Very familiar story we're going to start with tonight. The title of the message is Seize the Opportunity. Seize the Opportunity. We begin reading in the book of Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 20, beginning with verse 30. It said, Behold, two blind men sitting by the way side, when they heard that Jesus passed by, they cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. Now, first of all, how did these two blind men know that Jesus was passing by? Do you know that many times people that are blind, they have refine other senses.
Yes.
And a lot of times they are more aware by touch and hearing of what's going on around about them. There was a great multitude that was following Jesus here. So if you can just take a little step back 2,000 years, and it was probably this pretty dusty out here. There was a multitude of people following Jesus walking down a dusty trail. And as when you get a lot of people talking and there's the children playing and they were all following Christ, I imagine those two blind men that were sitting by the road, they heard that and they kind of asked them, what's going on?
Yeah.
We hear there's a crowd, there's something happening, and we want to know. And someone says, well, Jesus is coming down the road.
Mm.
And they might have looked at each other and said, Jesus, that one that we have heard about that has made the lame to walk? The one that we heard about that has given sight to the blind.
Amen.
That man that we heard about that has cast devils out. That man that says he's the Son of God that has forgiven people of their sins. Those that were in bondage. That man that set them free.
Yes.
This is our opportunity.
Yes.
See, this is our time. This is an opportunity. And as the sound got closer, they were listening, and they could hear the crowd, and pretty soon they knew Jesus is right here close by. The crowds in front of us, they began to cry out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us.
Yes.
Well, listen to what happened. It said the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. In other words, when they began to cry out, the people were like, just be quiet. Don't bother him. Have you ever been somewhere where there was someone that kind of was important and people tried to keep the multitude away from him? You've ever gone to hear maybe someone in politics or someone that has a big following and they're keeping them guarded from the masses? They don't want them. I remember going to a conference one time, pretty self-important person doing the teaching. I wasn't real impressed. But he was pretty, and if you would try to speak to him, you could just tell, I don't got time. If he didn't have time to talk to anybody, he was just on a little higher level than what he deemed everyone else to be on. So these men, though, they were crying out, Jesus! And the multitude told him, they said, shh, be quiet. Don't bother Christ. And they didn't let it deter them because this was their opportunity to get hold of Jesus Christ. Why are you here tonight? Is that a fair question?
Yes.
Did anybody here come with any needs? Anybody here have sin in your life that's been burdening you and you're under guilt and condemnation? We heard a song tonight that talked about Jesus will bring freedom. That's the Jesus we're talking about. If there are those tonight that are troubled and you've been serving the Lord, but there's needs in your life, do you know that Jesus is passing by tonight?
Yeah.
That's the purpose of these meetings. And if Jesus is going to come pass by, what are we going to do? Are we going to sit in our seat and be quiet and Jesus is going to come and he's going to go? Or are we willing to do as these blind men and cry out saying, Lord, have mercy on me.
Yes.
I've got a need in my heart. I've been carrying this around a long time.
Yes.
And Jesus stopped. With all of the hubbub and all of the activity, Jesus stopped. It said he stood still and he called them and said, what will you that I shall do unto you? What is it you want the Lord to do tonight? You know, that's the reason we have these meetings.
Amen.
The Lord passes by our way, but it's up to us to cry to the Lord. And they said, Lord, that we would receive our sight,
yes,
that our eyes may be open. And it said, Jesus, have compassion on them. He didn't have judgment.
Yes.
He had compassion.
Amen.
Tonight, if you have sin in your life, if you have rebelled against God, you know if you will cry out to the Lord tonight, he will have compassion on you. It doesn't matter the pain that you've caused people in your life. It doesn't matter how your family has rejected you. It doesn't matter how you might feel ostracized by people that you know. There's a Savior tonight that if you will cry out, he will stop and he will have mercy and compassion. And it said he touched their eyes, and what do you think happened? It says immediately they received their sight. They took the opportunity. These men could have stayed there and listened to the crowd come and looked at each other and said, I wish Jesus would have done something for me. Tonight, if you have something you need Jesus to do for you, it is up to you. It's up to you now to seize the opportunity and cry out to the Lord. The word opportunity in the Latin, it comes from the Latin word opportum. And what it references is that before they had the nice harbors that they do today, in a ship that was coming in that had to get into port, they would stay outside of port and they would prepare their sails and get ready for when the wind would blow just right, and they could turn their sail and catch that wind to take them safely into port. So it was headed into port, so they had to be ready. They had to be vigilant, and that's where we got our word, opportunity. When the Lord comes by, do you know that we have responsibility to have a heart prepared? That, Lord, I want to seize and take hold of the opportunity. Because when the wind comes, you got to set your sail and it'll take you into port. But you know as well as I do, the wind doesn't always blow that direction. And it is a reality tonight that the Spirit of God does not always deal with us at the same level. The Spirit of the Lord does not always deal with us. I have watched people under the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, and they did not seize the opportunity. Well, I'll just go home. I'll go home and pray. Or I'll just maybe next year I'm going to make my life right with God. Then they put off the opportunity and they didn't take advantage of it. And they never got back with God. Because the Lord in His mercy came by and they rejected it. I want to challenge, encourage you, you young folks tonight, when the Spirit of the Lord talks to you, that is the time to seize the opportunity and say, Lord, I'm going to listen, I'm going to respond. Because if the Lord passes by our way, that is the time for deliverance. That is the time for healing. That is the time to get the victory in our life, the things we've been struggling with for so long. You see, these men's lives were changed because they seized the opportunity. Well, Christ's mission, He came not for the righteous. Who did He come for? He said, those that are whole need not a physician. But who needs a physician? Those that are sick. But you know, we need to be willing to acknowledge when we're not well. We need to be willing to acknowledge when maybe we're saved, but I'm not doing exactly like I ought to spiritually, and I'm not as close to the Lord. What are we going to do with that when the Lord passes by and we feel the draw of the Spirit of God? Are we going to go home the same way we came, or will we seize the opportunity and say, Lord, I need a touch from God? If there's sin in your life, if you came here a sinner, you can go home a sinner. But you know, rather, if you will seize the opportunity, you too can be washed in the blood of Jesus. Yeah. And you can be changed, and you can go home with a different course in your life because you have responded to the call of Jesus Christ. Jesus came and gave opportunity to the sick. He passed by, He healed, He delivered, He brought freedom. He came to give us opportunity to make it to heaven. That's what the Lord loves us tonight. The Lord wants you to make it to heaven. But this is the prep time. Yes, it is. This is a time of preparation. What are we going to do with it? We need to use the time to get ready. That means looking at our life. That means responding to the call and the move of the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus passes by, you remember Zacchaeus, what he did? Zacchaeus was a short man, wasn't he? And when Jesus passed by, he wanted to see Jesus more than anything else. And this was a rich man. And do you know what would you think if you saw a rich man, someone had a lot of prestige, running down the road to try to catch someone? Kind of lose your dignity a little bit, wouldn't you? You know, Zacchaeus, with all of his wealth and position, that he was not afraid of what anybody else thought about him. I want to see Jesus. And if I have to climb a tree, I'm going to climb a tree. How far are you willing to go to get help in your soul tonight? How much are you willing to do the things that you've been struggling with? The things that you've been battling, the things that seem to have been overcoming you in your life, are you willing to do whatever it takes tonight? Are you willing to climb a tree? That's a very practical thing, isn't it? All right, is anybody willing to go climb a tree and say, if I climb that tree, I'm going to get help in my soul? Wonder how many would go out and climb that tree after service was over. The answer is at the top of the tree. You know, for Zacchaeus, that's where he found an answer. He got up there, and when Jesus walked by, he stopped. And he knew there was someone that has a desire. Yes. There's someone that has a desire to see me. And Jesus went home with Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus' life was changed. Remember Jacob wrestling with the angel? And he got pulled, and he said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Yes. He indeed seized the opportunity, and he said, I'm not letting go. Sometimes we want the Lord just to come by and just give us what we want where we're at. But you know, it takes an humbling and it takes humility to come into the presence of God and say, Lord, I'm willing to humble my heart, and I come into your presence, and I need some help here. You know, the Lord will meet the need when we'll seize the opportunity when He comes by. I want to encourage us tonight to take advantage of the opportunity. Take advantage of the time that we have. Think about the disciples when Jesus walked along the seashore and he walked by and there's Peter and James and John and Andrew and they were fishing. And Jesus gave them a call and he said, follow me. I have something I want you to do. And do you remember what the scripture says? They immediately dropped their nets and they followed Jesus.
Yes.
But do you know that was their opportunity?
Yes.
That was their opportunity. If they would have said no, they might not have ever heard the call of God again for them to be fishers of men. That was their opportunity. I will say and acknowledge tonight, I am thankful for the mercy of God.
Yes.
That when I have not listened or responded like I should have, in the mercy of the Lord, he came back again. And says, Michael, you know what I wanted you to do. I'm giving you another opportunity.
Yes.
But do you know, if we shun those opportunities very long, the opportunities are going to stop coming. Because the Lord is going to take us at our word. And I speak personally here. A while back, there was something in my life that the Lord had been talking to me about. And I was struggling with it. All right? I was struggling. If I'm the only one that struggled, then maybe you ought to be up here instead of me. But I was struggling with it. And I know the Lord wants instant obedience, but I wasn't quite there. And the Lord was calling for a consecration. And he was calling for something in my life that I was struggling with and I was waffling. And do you know, the Lord came along and he put his finger on it. And I knew that I better answer the Lord or he might stop dealing with me about that. And I would go on and I would begin to lose my contact with God. Lord, I don't want anything to hinder my connection with God. So when the Lord talks to us, we need to respond, folks. When the Lord deals with us, that's the time to come and say, Lord, here I am. I don't care what y'all think about me. I don't care what you think. Well, Brother Mike, some people, here's a misperception. It's a misconception. Some people think that this altar is just for those that are not saved.
Right.
Do you know that this altar is a place to come and seek God? It's a place to come in humility, in our needs, and say, Lord, I'm struggling, and I want to meet you. I don't care what anybody thinks. And when you see the preacher go down to the altar, and I've gone down to the altar, I found the Lord there. That's where the Lord, and I, sometimes it was at a physical altar. Sometimes it's driving down the road. Sometimes it's beside my bed or in my office. But there was a place of humility that I had to come to. And I've seen many times when people neglected to seize that opportunity. I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many of you all have been in services? Just answering yourself. And the Lord has talked to you. And in your mind, it was like, yes, I need to pray. And I need to seek God because I want some victory here. I'll pray when I get home. And you go home and it's kind of dead.
Yes.
What happened? Mm-hmm. Jesus passed you by. And you failed to take advantage of the anointing and opportunity of the presence of God. Lord, help us to respond and seize the opportunities when the Spirit of the Lord talks to us. The young rich ruler. Remember, the young rich ruler came to Jesus. And he said, good master, he said, what thing must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, keep the commandments. Mm-hmm. You know, honor your father and mother. Don't commit adultery. Don't commit fornication. Don't steal. And he said, Lord, he said, these things have I done from my youth up. He was a good person.
Yes.
Listen tonight. Being a good person is not sufficient to get us into the kingdom of God. He was a good man. He's the kind of person you'd want to be on the board of trustees.
Yes.
He was the kind of man you'd want to be the treasurer. He's the kind of man that when there's a job to do, it's like, hey, here's a job. And he'd be responsible with it. He was a good moral man. It is not enough to be a good moral person. We need to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and follow him no matter what the cost.
Yes.
And Jesus said, there is one thing that you lack. And he said, go and sell everything that you have and then come and follow me. Jesus knew how to pinpoint things in our life. You know, the Lord has a way of doing that with all of us.
Yes.
We say, but look what I'm doing for the Lord, and look what I'm doing here. I'm good. You know, the Lord knows where our needs are. And he looked on with love on this young man. He wasn't there to cut him off. He wasn't there to condemn him, but he looked on him and he loved him. And he said, there is one thing that you lack. He said, go and sell everything that you have and then come and follow me. And it says the young man, he went away. How? What condition? He went away sorrowfully because he had great possessions. Do you know that what is happening in our religious world today, people are saying, you know what? Just come anyway. Just come anyway. Just come and eventually maybe you'll get to the place that you can sell what you have. That is not how Jesus handled people. He was not going to pull the wool over their eyes. He wasn't going to do a bait and switch. He was going to let them know up front, if you want to follow me, you're going to need to turn your back on the world and you're going to say need to say no to the things of the flesh and follow me with your whole heart. Because if we're not willing to do that somewhere down the road, that love for the things of the world is going to come in conflict with God's requirements for our life. And so he was just up front, said, this is what it's going to take. Folks, tonight, this is what it's going to take. I'm thankful for people that want to come and be in services, but this is not our, this isn't a security blanket for us. Coming to services on a Tuesday night, say, well, I'm a little holier than those that didn't come. You know, I laid aside, I had work to do, and I have things. Did anybody here not have anything else you could be doing tonight? But do you know that that's not our security blanket? Our security is when we can come with open hearts and say, Lord, meddle in my life. Lord, whatever you want in my life, talk to me. Show me where I'm not where I ought to be. And I'm going to seize the opportunity when the Lord does that. And we will go away changed in our life. Because of the presence of God. You know that sin tonight is not all it's cracked up to be. There's opportunity cost to following the Lord. Young people, if you choose to serve the Lord, there's going to be some things you're going to have to give up. It's opportunity cost. If you're Jesus, that young rich man, if you follow me, you're going to have to go sell what you have. That was a cost. But yet, if he would have done that, he would have found the value of what he gained in the Lord would have far surpassed what he had to give up. And it is real. The enemy is he's tricky. He'll come along, especially with those that are younger. You know what? It's the middle age too, folks. Our riches and our businesses and our temporal things will not gain us entrance into heaven. Why are we putting so much priority on the things of this world when the Lord is wanting us to follow him with all of our hearts? Yes. He wants to be number one in our priorities. Is there a cost to that? Yes, there is. But when we give everything to follow him, you will find that it is well worth the sacrifice. Oh, when the Lord talks, you seize the opportunity tonight, because there's going to come a time that the Spirit of the Lord is going to stop dealing in the same way in your life. Jesus said in John 6:44, no man cometh to me except the Father that sent me draw him. There's a fear on my spirit when I consider what that means. We live in a time that we think, when I get ready, I'll respond to the Lord. If you don't know the Lord tonight, don't think that he's just going to be there just whenever you get around to it, that he's going to be there. There has to be a drawing from the Spirit of God. If you've ever tried to pray with someone that has no conviction, I'll tell you, where you have to start praying for the presence of God to come and bring Holy Ghost conviction. When the Lord draws and he puts his finger on things in our lives, that is the time to seize the opportunity. And there are many that are neglecting that. They're rejecting it. There is a consequence to ignoring and letting those opportunities go. There's a consequence to that. Do you know what happens when the Lord deals with our heart and we don't respond? You all know what happens? We start getting a little hardness of heart, don't we? Yes. Haven't we all experienced that at some point in our life? I just, and people, then they get to the place in their life, they say, well, I don't feel guilty about that. I'm not condemned about that. The Lord doesn't care. Did he used to care?
Lord.
You understand? Did he used to care? Do you remember tonight? Do you remember when the Lord used to talk to you about things in your life? Do you remember when he put a stinger on things in your life and you were like, yes, I need to do that, but yet you didn't yield? And today we say, well, I don't feel bad about it. You know, this is where deception comes in. This is where deceptions come in homes. It's where it comes in individual lives. It's where it comes in congregations that one time taught and allowed the Spirit of the Lord to lead them, but pretty soon, just a little bit of hardness and not being as sensitive to the dealings of the Holy Spirit. So what are we going to do tonight when the Lord reminds us, do you remember what I talked to you about? You remember last year when I talked to you and you knew this is what I wanted of you and you just kind of put it on the back burner? And today we say, well, the Lord's not talking to me about that. It's okay. Is it really okay tonight? Do you know that God does not change? God is not changing tonight. And he is wanting us to open our hearts when he talks to us. When he reminds us of those areas in our life that we used to be sensitive. We used to have that burning desire, Lord, whatever it takes, I want to be in that condition. But it's going to take coming and saying, Lord, I remember. Thank you for passing by my way again. You know, the Lord is so merciful to us tonight. If the Lord only told me one time and never came back, I would be far from here tonight, all right? I would be a long way from here. But I'm so thankful in his mercy he came back by.
Yes.
And he showed me what he wanted in my life. The Lord wants us to be in the image of God tonight. He wants us to be in the image of Christ. How are we doing tonight spiritually? Do you remember, it's well-known story, and we won't take the time to read it, but in the 24th chapter of Acts, when Paul was speaking to Felix, he was testifying to Felix, and he was telling him about the truth and about God and about the judgment to come. And do you remember it said that Felix trembled?
Yes, he did.
He trembled because he felt the convicting power of God. He felt the Lord talking to his heart. If you listen tonight, do you hear the Lord talking? I'm not talking about my words. But when you start being introspective and opening up your heart, you hear the Spirit of the Lord showing you places that he wants to work that maybe we have not completely yielded. If you have sin in your life tonight, the Lord, you feel the Lord drawing you, I can set you free. You don't have to stay blind. You don't have to stay addicted tonight. You don't have to stay with those hidden sins. You don't have to keep living a double life. And mom and dad, they think you're living real good, but yet when you're by yourself, you're out sowing your wild oats. You don't have to live that way tonight. But if you reject the dealings of the Spirit of God, we very likely will end up like Felix. It said he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. But this was his response to the dealings of God. He said, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. When it's convenient, we have no record that he ever called for Paul to come back. And you know, it is usually the truth that the way that we came is the way that we're going to leave if we do not seize the opportunity. Lord, I need help. I need you to work in my life. There's a story I remember as a child reading a tract, and many of you may know it. I want to relate it again tonight. This tract is entitled The Governor's Pardon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a story about a young man that had committed a crime and he was put on death row. And it was quickly approaching the time that he was going to be put to death. Aren't we all guilty of death tonight?
Yes. Yes.
None of us deserve God's forgiveness. And this is where this young man was. And the governor, I believe it was his mother, this young man's mother, petitioned the governor, "Would you have mercy on my son? Would you give my son a pardon? He's grown up. He was foolish. He made mistakes. He did things he shouldn't have when he was young. And he's been in prison. Would you have mercy on him? And would you give him another opportunity? And so the governor wanted to go see for himself this young man. And so he went to the prison. And he walked in and they called the young man out and had him sitting there. And the governor walked in. And the young man that was in prison looked at him and said, "Take me back to my cell. Take me back to my cell. He's a preacher. I don't want to listen to him." The governor looked like a preacher. Don't want to listen to what he has to say. So he said, I don't want to listen to him. Take me back to my cell. And after he went back to his cell and the governor left, someone came and told him, said, "That was the governor. And he was going to give you a pardon." And the young man said, "Well, write to him and tell him to come back. Please tell him to come back. Tell him to come back because his life was on the line." And the governor got the call to come back, and that letter lay on his desk. And if I recall the story correctly, the governor wrote across the top of that letter, "No longer interested in this case."
Lord, have mercy.
You know, this is what so many people are doing with the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit comes, and the Lord then one day is just going to accept. You want me to leave you alone? You want me to quit pulling you? Do you know, I love it when I am in services and you're almost trembling at your seat, and if you're saved, you almost just want to go get saved again. Anybody ever felt that way?
Mm-hmm.
You know why I love that? Because I never want to stop feeling the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. It almost makes you want to have a need. Lord, I'm going to come. Because, I need some help in my life. Tonight, we have nothing to be ashamed of. But if we do not take the opportunities that we have with God, the Lord's going to start respecting our rejection of Him.
Yes.
And if you don't know the Lord tonight and you're not saved tonight and you think in your mind that you can go live how you want and when you get ready, the Lord's just going to be there waiting for you to get saved, I want to tell you, I know from experience that it doesn't happen that way. I have sat at the bedsides of people that knew they sat where you sat.
Yes.
They heard this same gospel. I know people that one time taught Sunday school.
Yes.
I know people that one time preached. And they went out into eternity not ready to meet God. And on their deathbed said, "Will you just accept the Lord? Would you just say yes?" And they had rejected the Lord so long that they just could not bring themselves to say yes, Lord. And their opportunity was gone. And they went out lost. What are we going to do tonight? What are we going to do? The scripture says to seek ye the Lord. When? While he may be found. Call ye upon him. When? While he's near. When the Lord's talking to you. When you feel the Lord drawing you, that is the time to respond to the call of God. I would like to close tonight with one other story that's given in the scripture in Mark in the 2nd chapter. There was a man, Jesus, had gone to someone's home. And the house was full of people. It was full of people. Mark chapter 2. And the sick and the lame, everybody that needed help, they were just pressing around Christ. It was as if tonight this tent was packed with people. No room for anybody to get in. This aisle would be filled with people because Jesus is where? Jesus is in the house. Jesus was in the house. And when Jesus is in the house, that's where I want to be. If I have a need in my soul, I want to be in the house where Jesus is. If I'm not saved and I'm guilty and I want the power of sin broken and I haven't been able to do it by my strength and my willpower, I want to be in the house where Jesus is. Yes. And so they went to the house, though it was packed. And there was a man sick with palsy. And he could not get into the house because of the multitude. And he had some good, faithful friends. And you remember what happened? They got a ladder or climbed a tree, but somehow they got on the top of that house. And they cut a hole. They opened up the roof. They opened up the roof and made a hole down through there, and they lowered that bed down right in front of Jesus. Jesus is in the house tonight. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to go home tonight the same way? Relationships, marriages that are struggling. Relationships with people. Personal conflict. Things going on inside that we struggle with, and we hear the call of God. And He's saying, I have something better for you. I want to give you release. I want to give you victory. I want to give you that strength that you need. And we say, it sounds good. Tonight, as we close, I want you to know that Jesus is in the house. That's the time to take advantage of it, because there's going to come a day that Jesus is not going to be in the house anymore. And it's going to be too late. So what are we willing to do tonight? Let's stand and sing a song tonight. If you have a need in your heart, the Lord Jesus is in the house. Let's seize the opportunity. The wind is blowing. His power is available tonight, but it's going to take us setting ourselves. And it really doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. I just want to come into the presence of God, and I want to get the strength and the help that I need. Amen.